15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And of course, I encourage you to contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in. Also, if you received a copy of the link inviting you to listen to the radio today, send it off to another person, because this is how we hear from more and more people. And of course, you can log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and right on the front page, you can listen live right now. You can go to Alexa right now on Wednesdays between 11 a.m. and 12 noon and say, Alexa, 860 AM radio, and our broadcast will come up. As you know, our theme for 2020 has been Support American Made First. And of course, we're going to talk a lot about that now and throughout the rest of the year. But first, I want to say a big thank you to the people who helped make this broadcast a great success. And I'm really pleased to hear from more and more of the people who do listen in on Wednesday and Saturdays to our variety show, and let me know how much they appreciate Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, the National Small Business Advocate, and for all his work with SCORE over the years, Rich Loges, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course Curtis Ellis, always there to help us with a special report on what is happening there to put American workers first. Henry Chaplinsky is our engineer, and I'm Michael Blihash, very proud to be able to be your host, and I want to say thank you for letting me know that you tune into the broadcast wherever you are, and we meet in our travels. Well, here we are on July the 1st, and we're just days away from the 244th celebration of America's 4th of July Independence Day. Well, this year, our 2020 Declaration of Independence Day is going to be much, much different, as all of you see, because we're fighting against this deadly virus that originated in China, and that virus has limited our social independence. It actually killed that virus in particular. Killed over 120 plus thousands of our fellow Americans, and it continues to be a health risk to the American people. And as you hear every day in the news, more and more people are being restricted from doing this or that, even as they're out on vacation. As we work together to become more independent of this coronavirus, many of our Independence Day celebrations have been canceled all over the United States. And of course, the events in historic Philadelphia, where America began, where the Declaration of Independence has been signed, has all been canceled. So we have a lot to be concerned about. A lot of things have to change in the future. And since the middle of March, when everything was closed down, we've had a lot of problems, and people are very disturbed that the leaders of China, the communist government of China, did not let us know what the hell is going on over there. As far back, I'm hearing now, in October this started. Then it continued in November. And when the editor of the newspaper over there wrote a concerned article to be careful, wear masks and all, on November the 17th, that person vanished, along with the doctor who was offering those concerns. Now, as you know, many of the people walk in China and other countries with masks because the pollution is very, very bad over there. They don't have the restrictions, the health restrictions, and things like that to cover their smokestacks and all as they're making things. So that is a big concern. But many people don't understand, and they've been discussing with me. I say, hey, all of that pollution from China and other countries that don't have these EPA regulations, I said all that stuff comes into the atmosphere, and sooner or later it winds up in the United States of America. And I urge all of you, for the health care of everybody, listen to what the health care representatives have to say. Do wear your mask to protect yourself and others. And as you know, back in 1776, when our forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence, their main focus was the ideals of freedom, peace, justice, and the prosperity of the new American people. That's the thing. The prosperity of the new American people, a new government that represented freedom, number one freedom. They look for peace, and they had to fight many wars to get to that peace. And, of course, justice. Justice was very important. In more recent years, America lost part of its prosperity as we saw nations of the world welcoming America's businesses overseas. And we're looking now at what happens when businesses in America go overseas looking for cheaper labor to avoid growing government regulations, and they were growing until 3 years ago, and ever-rising taxes on businesses here in the USA so that the government could pay out to hide the fact that there were so many millions and millions of Americans unemployed, giving them unemployment, all sorts of other programs to keep them at least with a few dollars in their pockets. Now, in the last few years, I have to compliment President Trump and America's national leaders, both on the Democrat and Republican side, agreed to cut the taxes and the regulations so the United States would be a more welcoming place to expand and open a business. Then comes the coronavirus. 40 million people lose their jobs. We have many restrictions placed upon us, and we have to rise up like the phoenix rose up. We have to rise up from the ashes and bring America back to where it should be. I'm going to first turn today to Mark Andel. Mark, let me know what's happening in your neighborhood. Let all of us know what's happening in your neighborhood, what restrictions and what possibilities of getting things back to normal are going up in your neck of the woods. Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike, and our team? Welcome. Happy 4th of July coming up, Mike. Like you said, it's a great day, Independence Day. Just a great day to celebrate, fly your flag. I'm telling everybody, fly their flags. We are selling a lot of flags, so it unites, it brings people together, and it stands for everything we're about. Mike, a lot going on. Happy new month. You know, it's July 1st. We got through first and second quarter, and, you know, unprecedented. You know, first quarter is first quarter, but a second quarter, like you said, we're week 16 of the China 19 crisis. you know, it's been a tough run, Mike. We're going through a lot of businesses. A lot of restaurants are closing around us here. It's definitely took its toll on the economy. We're in New York. We're holding our own. We're abiding by the social distancing and all the safety guidelines. You know, our business, Made in America, our main store is open, which is in Alma, and that's been open right through, but still yet to open our mall stores. I did a couple more interviews for the local TV stations, the news. But the malls, we just had Phase 4 open in Western New York yesterday. And malls and gyms, they're not even included. They're not even listed. There's no date set. They want these malls to replace the whole air conditioner units with special systems. And to be honest, the malls were in trouble before the crisis. And, you know, there's no money to do that. So there's no talk of opening these malls. We'll probably have to close them. Two stores, you know, we had closed one earlier into one mall. But we got our flagship store. The movement's very alive. Dependency on China is known. And the people are waking up. A lot of good talk, Mike, about that. And, you know, nobody believes where we are with China, and China's been stealing the intellectual properties for years. And, you know, but this is all becoming, you know, people are getting educated on it, so that's good. But like I said, so the mall stores are staying closed. The MadeInAmerica.com is doing real well, you know, thanks to everybody, you, Mike, everybody pushing. People really want Made in America products, especially 100% made in their own country, and that's doing well. But on the general welding side, the oil and mining business has dried up. We're hanging on with some military work, but very tough times. I had a couple good people on my show, Mike. I wanted to bring up my good friend Eric Bateman. He's out of Wisconsin. He started his own tour business. He was a bus driver for years, but he started his own. He's an operator now, owner of his tour business out of Wisconsin, and I had him on the show yesterday. He bought two buses, a tour bus that holds 56 people. They run about $625,000 was the one he bought last year, and then he bought another one. So him and his friend Khalid bought the two buses, got in the tour business, and he hasn't had a tour since March 13th. So the buses are sitting idle. That business, they're asking for help from the government. They are in trouble. The tourism business, as you know, but $11 billion loss. He's a great, great American. He loves America. I got him on for the show we recorded for July 4th because he loves America so much. He would bring these buses in to me from Wisconsin, and instead of going to see Niagara Falls, he'd bring them to the Made in America store. But he's into his personal savings. He's hoping and praying. But as he said, with a tour bus, if it held 56 people and they ask him to put 27 on, 50%, he can't cover the expenses of the fuel, the operators, the group leader, and things like that, Mike. So that industry is in trouble. But having him on and feeling his pain, and you know, typical entrepreneur and inventor and risk taker. But very tough there, Mike. But we're, you know, we're holding our own. I'm proud of my team. A lot of good people left, but the B people, but the loyal people are with me. So, you know, compliments. Made in America movement's very, very alive. I've got a great story on honey I'll talk about later, where China's really corrupt and a lot of fraud on the honey market. But we'll talk about that in a little while, Mike.
You know, Mark, you sent me an article through the email, and I just was able to get it a few minutes ago. It says, how much of the United States does China really own? You want to give me a little brief synopsis of that?
Yeah, you know, Don Buckner, me, I've been aligning everybody on my shows and just trying to keep this, the movement's very alive. And, you know, China, we always knew, again, my first shirt was because China's a long drive to work. I know Curtis knows how much the intellectual property has been being stolen and our secrets have been being stolen for so long, and how China operates and the true plan of the communist government is to take over the tech side of, you know, all the industries and become the world power. So, you know, my nephew a while ago, Daniel, back when he started 10 years ago, did his thesis for college on Walmart, the effect of China, and it's been being done for years. They've got a plan that steals our, you know, all our interests, our rights, our intellectual properties, and they have a team that just does that, Mike. And if you go to, I believe it was China, U.S., China owns us, or China owns U.S.com, it explains a lot of it. Mike, it's scary. It's a plan. It's in motion. The pandemic's helped them. And I do believe they should be held accountable and responsible for releasing the disease, too. But it all works in their favor, regardless of what you believe, to continue to take us over, and especially our technologies.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, what did you say that address was? China owns?
China owns us, or U.S.com.
U.S. Okay, guys, please look that up today. Let's see what they have
scary
to offer. You know,
yeah.
Mark, 10 years ago when you opened up your store, you could have probably had a many case scenarios of why it could not, you know, go well. Did you ever think that a pandemic like this would come along and do so much damage to you and everybody in America?
Yeah, you know, you never seen it coming. We went through the recession of the 2007, 8, 9, 2010, which was bad, you know. Again, we lost our oil mining, the military work, you know, it didn't snow at the time. We had a lot of things against us, but the pandemic is different because you couldn't go out and drum up work. All businesses were closed generally. You know, we were blessed our Made in America could stay open because we were essential for groceries and fulfillment and distribution. And thank God with General Welding, we had military contracts that had to be fulfilled. But we had trouble with our legs of business because everybody wasn't open, so we couldn't continue on. If you're building a wagon and you don't have the wheels, you can't continue on, Mike. So I was tested in time, but it's very, very tough. I've got businesses. The restaurant industry is going out left and right. We've got restaurants, going out all over up here. Businesses like dry cleaning and different things you wouldn't even think of. Even the restaurants, Mike, when they opened in phase 3 to 50% inside, not just outside, in West New York here, my buddy that owns one I'm very close with, Mikey D, he lost his takeouts right away. So people were helping the restaurants with the takeout service. But when the restaurants opened in phase 3, they thought, hey, people just thought they were fine. Well, the takeoff dried up. You could only allow 50% of your people in. His food truck permits all got pulled because they don't want the food trucks out there. He lost all his weddings and events. Then he just lost his corporate accounts, which meaning he catered to corporations, large corporations. Well, they don't want to have the gathering, so he lost all them last Thursday. So, you watch that cash flow dry up, and I see the look in his face last week. And you can tell, I feel for these small businesses. I know Larkin does, and, Rich, we're all about the small business, but it's very, very tough times. But your answer, no, I didn't, this pandemic, I talked to a doctor, very experienced, but he said pandemics, years ago, it would have took 10 years to go through this pandemic because now it's accelerated because you didn't have planes and buses, and the way it spread this time is a lot quicker. Years ago, it would have to take a year to go through each country, and then it would take 10 years overall. So, it's different times. It's something we've got to adjust to, but it's a double-edged sword. We've got to get businesses back open, too.
You're right, and I think if everybody puts their nose to the grindstone, we'll be able to get through this much quicker than we have been at this point. I want to turn to Larkin Conley now. Larkin, you've been in the business operations for a long time. You've been helping people through SCORE. You've been helping people, you've been in business yourself. You've been around to a lot of business meetings, a lot of situations in the country. Did you ever think a pandemic could do this to America?
No, I don't think anybody in their right mind ever thought that this could happen. And I think Mark is 100% right. There, just the difference in this country today and back when polio struck the country, it's just two different countries, two different demographics. It's impossible to really think that this could have happened, but it did. And I can promise you, it is very, very serious. We haven't scratched the surface of seriousness yet. We think we have, and I think a couple governors whose main concern was survival of the state may have been a little encouraged and. Listen, it really wasn't Governor DeSantis' problem. It wasn't his mistake. The mistake was that these kids, and that's the demographic that has it now, they're the ones that went running out without masks on, listened to nobody, and just started partying. And we've heard the story a million times. My wife is involved in the transition COVID-19 patients as they're transitioning home. She's responsible for the incoming nurses and the equipment and all the tests. So she's playing in the sandbox of COVID-19 right now. And she said the other day she transitioned a patient, a young lady who was 24 years old. And my wife's, of course, first question to her was, how'd you get it? And she said, I went to a bar. I went to a bar and it was so crowded, it was elbow to elbow. And anybody have masks on? No, not really. Nope. If they did, they had them pulled down so that they could converse with somebody because the masks were in the way of their socializing. So to blame this on the government, blame this on the governor is a little short-sighted. Listen, no law, no fine put in place would have had these kids from Mobile, Alabama, all the way down our west coast, and over on our east coast, the lower east coast around Miami and Broward County. Nobody would have paid attention to any rule or regulation. They were finally being released from lockdown, and they paid attention to nary a rule, and now it's spreading. They also, the press is, again, just captivated with talking about numbers. Let's look at data. Let's not analyze the data. Well, let's not try to figure out what the data is telling us right now. Let's just talk about data. We have so many cases here. We have so many cases here. This governor completely screwed up. Meanwhile, people like Don Lemon criticizing any government individual who made a decision. Don Lemon can't decide whether to stand up or sit down. He really can't. The guy is so offensive. I can't imagine. And yet he's just criticizing everybody that gets in his way, from the president to any Republican governor. Just criticize them all as the almighty dollar is more important to them than the lives. And we all know that's not true. It's just kind of absurd. I also thought that I'd introduce a new, I have a new initiative. I think that will help us, really, really help us with this issue. And that is, and this will help save the economy. The government should announce that immigration department will start deporting seniors instead of illegals. Just deport the seniors and leave the illegals in place in order to lower Social Security and Medicare costs. That's thousands and thousands of dollars. A major study concluded that older people are easier to catch. They offer less resistance. And most importantly, they won't remember how to get home or where home even is if they escape. So I just think this is just one of the many things. You know, the funny thing is it scares me to even make this kind of a joke in front of a progressive, because I can hear them all huddling up going, ooh, we can get rid of these old people that are giving us so much trouble. Oh, my Lord, this country is in the deep state. And by the way, to all of my friends who say there isn't a deep state, nah, this whole Antifa, this whole Black Lives Matter, the whole thing, it's not engineered from the outside. This is really being done by our own U.S. And if you believe that, I've got a stretch of I-95 that I'm sure I could get the deed to, and I can sell that to you, too.
You know, Larkin, I agree that a lot of these people that are coming out, or were coming out, thank God that they put some more rules and regulations on coming out to protest. But a lot of them were coming out from not from the Philadelphia area where some of these protests were. Some of the people didn't even know where the streets were. They were asking, like, where's this street? And it was two blocks away. And I thought, well, if this is very interesting, as they were parading through even around the Independence Mall area, they had no idea where what was. So they came in as professional agitators. And professional agitators have the time to do that. And, of course, our locals joined in on that, too. But there were a lot of outsiders just coming in. They must be on call to come out and just do their thing. And, by the way, who has the time to make all those fancy signs and all in the community? And then when you look at some of the protesters, they're in one county, they're with the same kind of signs in another county with the same kind of sign. So I believe some of it was done by professional agitators, because
absolutely
the local people have some respect for their properties, for their local stores. There were some communities that were absolutely devastated in neighborhoods that had just been working very hard to fix up all their stores and their streets. And I don't think they would just all of a sudden come out, loot the stores and break everything down, knowing that all this time and money was taken to beautify that neighborhood. It was just something very strange to me. Larkin, yeah. If you were the man in charge right now, what would you like to see done to help this pandemic move forward and get this behind us? That's the question of the day.
Well, it's a tough question. And guess what? It's the question that these governors and mayors face every morning. And I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Nobody knows. All you can do is try to make the right decision and hope that it works. Because nobody.
You know, Larkin, nobody. I want to tell you, I had a great conversation with a healthcare professional. And we went back and forth in a little discussion. And what came about from it was this. They have done an enormous amount of testing. There's no doubt about that. And many of the people who are now listed as new cases are people who are extremely healthy and they are able to function. Most of them didn't even know that they had it. And those cases...
It's asymptomatic.
It's asymptomatic. Now, a lot of the hospital...
They'll tell you that there are 12,000 new cases in Florida, but they won't tell you that 95% of them are asymptomatic.
Right. And that's the same thing, Larkin, with a flu or anything else. Most of the people are asymptomatic, and you just hope that it passes by them before they transmit it to someone else. But the thing is, they're saying the hospitals are filled again. But the hospitals are also filled with people who didn't have those elective surgeries and all during the beginning 3 months of the pandemic. So there's nobody giving us the facts and figures on a national basis. If you remember 2 months ago, I said I'd like to see a chart. How many people have asymptomatic? How many people are very ill? How many people passed away? How many people are, you know, coming into the hospitals? Nobody wants to do that because it doesn't benefit their bottom line. The best thing is to cause chaos. And the governor should also be demanding that information. That's a lot of information. It's like you want to go somewhere. Well, you don't want to go there when you know that's going to have a hurricane season. You want to go in a better season of the year. Well, this is a hurricane-type thing that has hit us, and we really need to rise from the ashes from this. And one of the ways that we can all help, the businesses that are open today, we can do it throughout the year. But remember, this first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is National Small Business Weekend. Please go out and support every business that's open around you. In Pennsylvania, a number of businesses have opened. Some of our malls are opened. A lot of things are opening for the positive. And in Pennsylvania, the governor, Governor Wolf, was very, very stringent about keeping the guidelines moving forward. There were always realistic reports about how the virus is moving, where it is, the age groups and all. It was a better understanding, and that's why I can ask that question about if we should know more facts and figures from other states, as we know in Pennsylvania. As a result of that, more of our businesses have been able to open realistically, and they're not being punished. Like in some states, I'm hearing today they're opening, 2 days no. It's just back and forth. This is not good for the economy that we know has to be repaired, and we can never let this happen again. As you celebrate Independence Day, be sure to spread the word also about our message. Let them know and invite people to tune in and listen to Mark and Larkin and Curtis and to Rich Logis and all of us talking together. We're talking common sense issues. How about we turn to Dr. Rich Logis? Mr. Logis, what's going on in your neck of the woods, and how would you resolve this pandemic?
Good morning, Michael and Mark Larkin, to our listeners. Happy 4th of July, Michael, in advance. It was about a, it was about a mile away from the Polish American Center where Ben Franklin was asked by in Independence Hall there when Ben Franklin was asked by a lady named Elizabeth Powell, "What have we got here, a republic or a monarchy?" And Franklin's answer was, "A republic if you can keep it." Mm-hmm. The founders understood, Michael, that today would happen. Does everyone know that? Does everyone realize that? They knew that it would happen. They wouldn't know the names. They couldn't have known the names and exactly how long it would be. They, you know, they weren't prophets. They were, however, prescient. So they realized that today would come. So I have a couple points, Michael. I'm going to answer with two answers. You asked Larkin a question, you know, the magic wand, what would you do? I have a two-part answer to this. First is an entire pause, full 100% moratorium on immigration for 5 to 10 years, and second, a compulsory civics exam for all citizens to vote. That's my answer, what to do.
Yeah, I agree with the all citizens to vote. You know why?
And 100%
because
pause.
then we know exactly where the American people stand. If you only get 30% or 40%, that's not 100% of
Michael,
the voters.
In that independence, now it wasn't specifically in that particular meaning, although it was part of the larger founding of the country. The republic was envisioned, Mark, to be as least lowercase d democratic as possible. As least lowercase d democratic as possible. The Electoral College, our three-fifths compromise, the selection of U.S. senators by state legislatures, the irrevocability of the Bill of Rights. That isn't none. Those are as least lowercase d democratic, Michael, as possible. Because what was it that the framers understood? Everyone thinks the Constitution is a political document, but it isn't. It's a document about the natural order of man. What the founders understood, Mark, was the more people you had get together, the more the tyranny of the majority sets in. And what is a tyranny of the majority called? It's called a democracy, Michael. The United States was envisioned to be as least democratic, lowercase d, as possible. And I have another question. That was my little sermon from the mount here in Florida as we approach Independence Day. I have a question, Michael, for our listeners, and it's a serious question. I looked at census data. There are approximately 300 million Americans age 20 and over. 300 million age 20 and over. I want a number backed up by evidence, not a dissertation, a pontification, polemization, manifesto, exegesis, or a Socratic dialogue in the Garden of Plato's Republic. I want a number. How many of the 300 million don't believe Black Lives Matter? Give me a number. Mark, how many? Give me a number. Can anyone give me a number? I don't want an editorialization.
I missed the last sentence, the last eight words.
Repeat that again, Rich.
I want to know. I want a number backed up by evidence, not a Socratic dialogue. How many of the 300 million Americans age 20 and older don't believe that Black Lives Matter? How many of the 300 million? I want a number. Backed up by evidence.
Don't believe.
Don't believe. 300 million Americans. How many say, no, Black lives don't matter? No, of course they don't. Everyone else is like, how many?
I can't support it with data for a variety of reasons. First of all, the word data is a word that I hate more than any other word in the English language. But I think the number is, it would be surprisingly low. It would be incredibly lower than it was 30 years ago. And 15 to 20 years from now, maybe two more generations, nobody will even ask the question. They'll say, what the heck were those people talking about back then?
You are so right, Larkin.
So, Larkin, you are so right. Does anyone who works in some capacity, whether paid or volunteer, for the nonprofit organization, Black Lives Matter, capital B, capital L, capital M, does anyone in the organization have a number for me? Has anyone seen a number out there that's based on evidence?
No.
I'm asking.
I have not seen such a thing.
I went to the internet.
I would challenge it myself if somebody brought it to me.
Mark, do you have a number?
No.
Does anybody know? Does anybody in the organization have a number? Because I don't have a number, so I'm asking, how many does anyone out there have it? Because, Michael, because the burden of proof, which, to come back to the Constitution, is inherent in our Fifth and Sixth Amendments specifically.
Which is our due process,
our right to counsel, the right to have witnesses who accuse you presented before you. When you accuse, you have the burden of proof, not me. So when an organization says that America or Americans don't believe Black Lives Matter, the onus and burden of proof is on the accuser,
right?
Not the accused. So do you guys see why we need a mandatory, compulsory civics exam to vote in the United States? Compulsory. And as a side note, what do all legal immigrants, Michael, need to take before they become naturalized? Not a trick question. What do they need to take? They need to take an English-only civics exam. I rest my case.
It's crazy as that may sound, that's how it's been for many, many years. I mean, I can tell you that the immigrants that came from Eastern Europe, there were no tests other than the English language. One of the things that they prided themselves on, that they were able to come here and take a test offered by the United States government and pass it and become
now,
a
Michael,
citizen.
I have one last point related to our topic at large here regarding COVID. So a doctor I know, I don't know him very well, and I'm not a scientist, and I'm not a doctor, so I listen and try to learn, try to sort it out logically. Doctor, I know, here's what he said to me. He's the same specialty as Anthony Fauci, immunology. So he's an immunologist. And here's what he told me. He said in the beginning, the spike should have been allowed to have occurred. Now, I don't know, Michael. I don't know this doctor's politics. I've never spoken at all about elections, politics, any of it. Never spoke ever about it. What he said is that when you have it, here's what the actual medical people who are qualified know. What they know is that the spike should have been allowed to have occurred.
And why did he say that?
Because everybody's afraid of being the one who says that you killed grandma and grandpa.
Okay, but the spike would have allowed what to happen?
Because that's what the science is behind viruses and infections.
And the spike would have allowed the people to become more immune to it.
Michael, we are enduring. If you were in outer space for the last 100 days and you got dropped back down on the Walnut Street today, what's being enacted now is virtually identical to what was enacted 100 days ago. It's deja vu all over again. Why? Because as long as we just keep allowing intermittent closures and spikes and intermittent closures and spikes.
And we'll Rich, be that, that's more on
closures and spikes for the rest of our blankety damn lives.
Yeah, it's more on the herd immune.
Hurt, right. That's you know what else I'd like to see? And a good sister, a good nun, said this to me, who's in the medical field, by the way. God bless her. She's a wonderful lady. She said to me, you know, I've been around for a long time, and I've been through many, many, all these types of great flu seasons and unbelievable. And she said, this has been such a roller coaster of craziness to me, because you should not depend only on one Dr. Fauci type person. You should have a person in every state speaking up, not just the Dr. Fauci or Dr. Brooks or whatever her name was. It should be a lot of people speaking. No one should be the total head of
Michael,
something like this.
Basis? Michael, what is the basis? Everyone think about this for a moment. What is the basis of all of the press's narratives about COVID? Grandma and grandpa are going to die.
And also,
right
there's a second
now,
thing,
right?
Rich. There's a second
Michael,
thing, controlling people. This is the biggest thing of all. Controlling people.
Happens.
Keep them in
this
their homes.
This is what happens when fear and hysteria drive every single decision.
Right.
Because the same doctor I talked to, Michael, said to me, he said, it doesn't matter what the science and the facts are. Everybody is too afraid to want to hear it. That's what he said. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know what his politics are. Maybe he loves the president. Maybe he hates the president. It didn't matter to me. I wasn't interested in his politics. I was interested in the science. And he said everyone is just so afraid that we just the discussion about science and infectious diseases, that's all out the window, Michael.
Well, you know,
so
this, Rich,
what
there's something else. We're talking about this because it's benefiting American workers because we got to get them back to work. The thing that I never understood after the first week that this happened, I could have seen the closure for the first 10 days while everybody got their act together. That's number one. Number two, I would like to have seen Dr. Fauci go through the age levels, age 1 to 15, 16 to 25, and tell us exactly what is going to help that person avoid getting this particular virus. What can they do to help keep themselves out of the
Well, we didn't do it right.
We didn't do it. No, it's
it
not done till this day.
Wasn't done correctly. Again, science here, right? And I'm not a scientist. I'm here to listen, and I'm here to learn. Warning sign 10 in 10 warning signs your child is becoming a Democrat, how to make America grown up again, is called being an expert in a subject matter you know nothing about, also known as Albert Gore-itis. So anybody and anyone who – and anyone, Michael – out there, so this is somewhat a comment for our great audio engineer, he's a swing voter in a swing state. We're going to earn his vote come in November. We're down to, you know, fewer than 4 months. Everybody out there has to understand something, Michael. Everyone is on a side. If you don't think you are, you're going to be the first person stampeded by one of the two sides. It's just a question of what side stampedes you. It may be side A, maybe side B, maybe the doesn't matter. Everybody has to decide, Michael. There's a line in the sand, and everyone's got to pick a side. If you don't choose, someone else is going to choose the side for you. It's like I say with raising kids, Mark. I talk to these young dads all the time, and I say someone's going to indoctrinate your children. Is it going to be you, or is it going to be external forces? If it's external forces, you think they're going to indoctrinate your kids for your kids' benefit or their benefit? And, Michael, a mile away, where in Independence Hall, where you had the Constitutional Convention, where you had the framers get together, the framers understood something. Everybody is on a side. The country was not envisioned to be one where people are neutral. doesn't exist for that reason, Michael.
Exactly. I 1,000% agree.
And that's not my opinion. See, everyone has to understand, and this is another point. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. Everyone has to understand something, Michael. Everyone's opinions are irrelevant. Like someone says to me, why do you need this, Mark? Why do you need to have, you know, X amount of rounds of ammunition in your magazine? Everyone's opinion is irrelevant. What's only relevant is the Constitution, Michael. So when people say to me their wonderful opinion, I say, wow, that's the most engrossing opinion I've ever heard in my 43 years on planet Earth. But guess what? It's still irrelevant.
You know, Rich, you mentioned something about Black Lives Matter. I am not one who really likes that particular statement because I think all lives matter. We're all the children of God, and we should all matter equally. I try never to look at race, color, and creed when I speak to someone. In fact, in the things that I've done in human services over the years, I had the pleasure of working with people of all races, colors, creeds, and opinions. And it was great. And the thing is, there are these outside agitators bringing this constantly. This is wrong, that is wrong. How about they take time to tell us what is correct in this great nation of America? How about they pause to say, I want to get more of my people, the people of my skin, the people of my religious group, better employed, better knowledgeable of what services are needed in the future. Why are these things not being discussed by these supposed very well-known leaders? When there's a problem, they come out of the woodwork to agitate about the problem. That problem is really very small, but they make it very big. And this is something that we try never to do on this broadcast, to single out and make things negative. We're trying to promote American workers. How can we get more skills? This thing, how much of America does China own? A lot. Our businesses are closed now. Many of our manufacturing places are closed. Yet China is working 24 hours a day making the Christmas items that we will be selling in our stores for Christmas. How about our industries making items that will compete with them? It's just too much negativity and not enough production where we're going to benefit in the future. Does China own a lot? Yes. It was back in 1976 during the bicentennial of America, 44 years ago, that they started to come here with trillions of dollars to invest in this, invest in that company. It wasn't said this was a China investment company. No, they came to put their footprint in as many places as they could. Now when they say, hey, we want to move that business to China, well, they have 60% of the stocks. They can do anything they want.
Yeah.
Our people were asleep. They were snoring while the Chinese were coming over here doing their business and making good things for their countrymen. But the Chinese Communist government controlled things then, and it controls things today. They knew about the pandemic back in October. Did they tell the World Health Organization? No. Did they call up anybody in the United States and say, hey, guys, be prepared. You may be getting this virus in the country. No, they didn't do that because they don't ever want to be known to do anything negative. And a virus coming from them. Look how many viruses came from China over the years. Look, just consider, look back how many of them were originated
in
China.
Michael, and why the fear and hysteria on this time around? Because everything that is said on the little box that everybody watches is designed to make you think you're going to die.
Right. You are exactly right. You're so right.
There's nothing. There's, you don't need to be an august erudite academic. Doesn't need that, Mark. Right? Just small business people trying to make a living, right, Michael? Just trying to, right? And Larkin brought a point up before about senior citizens, and I'm going to make a broad brush statement here, because I don't doubt, Larkin, that you put a lot of effort in to try to challenge that Woodstock generation that has begotten everything today. Michael's the result of the, we followed up the greatest generation with the Woodstock generation. Now we need, we just celebrated 75th anniversary a little over a month ago of VE Day, the end of the war in Europe. This is not a criticism of the greatest generation. If we had to fight the Axis powers today, they wouldn't break a sweat against us. And that's not a reflection of our military, just so everybody understands that out there. Go and take all of these cretins on the street, and I'm still wondering where the parents are. Go stick them in the – and I'm a whip too, Michael, so unless I'm a hypocrite here and someone thinks I wouldn't be. Okay. The Axis powers wouldn't break a sweat. Wouldn't break a sweat. I have no doubt, Larkin, you put an effort in. Now it's up for, you know. Now we've got to reverse it. 50 years in the making, Michael, is what you see here today. 50 years. Statues don't come down to whitewash and rewrite history. You think anyone out there, Mark, knows anything about history? No. It's not what it's done for. It's not what it's
they
there
don't
for.
Even someone know who, well, yeah, I mean, they're pulling down statues of people that they have no idea. It's again just the action. It's the fact that they're being excited by, they're being brainwashed by, they're being paid by people to create this kind of, listen, this is, you stop and think about this virus. Somebody told me there's another virus right behind this. I don't know where I heard that, but and now this Black Lives Matter, this nation, this democracy right now is in a complete turmoil. It's a complete, everybody on the Democratic side wanted to blame Trump for the way he handled the coronavirus. Yet, 2 days after they announced the coronavirus, when it hit the front pages, what did Nancy Pelosi do? She sent the entire Congress home for 2.5 weeks and put them on break. You think they'd stay back and help with this dangerous thing? No, she put them on break. And then she said after 2.5 weeks, it's time to go back now because we can absolutely riddle this guy with holes. Now, you know, this country will survive this. I can only hope.
It will survive. It will survive. If we can get everybody that is thinking for the well-being of America, for the well-being of their family, for the well-being of their communities, to get their voices heard too, not just sit back and allow these negative people to take care of themselves and their puffed up opinions and do whatever they want to do.
Andrea Olivia Cortez, or whatever the heck her name is, from the one that drove the largest single employer in the world out of her election region because they wouldn't allow them to unionize, yet that company isn't unionized anywhere in the world, nor is that company facing a union avoidance. In other words, the workers aren't jumping up and down going, we want a union, we want a union, and the companies out there trying to, it's just not going on. They don't talk about it. I'm sure there are a couple rogue workers that work for Amazon that are saying, you know, we should have a union.
And, you know, Larkin, the strange part of it is they lost 25 or 30,000 jobs on a goofy statement. Nobody was rushing to the door saying we won't work there unless it's union or something. That was ridiculous.
No, that was all political. That's in large part where a lot of this uproar, a lot of this, I can't think of a good word, resistance
resistance started. And now Andrea Olivia Cortez, is that, I don't think I have that right, but who cares? Now she is supporting de Blasio, who announced yesterday that he is going to cut $1 billion from a $5 billion police budget this year.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Starting in September. $1 billion.
Did that pass, and Larkin?
So I read that article, and I went on to the next article, and it showed a 66-year-old woman getting attacked in an alley in New York where a guy came up behind her, put her in a chokehold until she went to the ground, got on top of her. I don't think he hit her. Oh, yeah, he was wrestling to get her purse away from her, and he just walked away. He didn't run. He just kind of sauntered back up the street.
Yep.
And I thought, who are you going to call? One of Andrea Olivia Newton-John Cortez's psychologists? Who will get there and say to the woman, oh, well, ma'am, I know you're 66, but your dress was cut a little low, and, you know, you shouldn't carry the purse on your shoulder. You should have it on a belt. What? Yeah. Good luck, New York. Good
you
luck.
Know, Larkin,
that highlights again, Larkin, again, there's a yep. Bring it to the forefront. Everybody gets to choose a side. Do you want to choose the side of lawlessness, anarchy, and terrorism? Or do you want to choose the side of lawfulness? To quote John Adams from the early 1800s, we are a nation of laws, Michael, not of men.
Not of men, correct.
So, yeah, no, everyone gets to pick a side.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a special thank you to Mark, to Larkin, to Rich, to Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, for joining me today. I thought the conversation was extremely good. This is the kind of conversation we need to hear more on a lot of our national media. Let opinions be discussed. As you celebrate Independence Day, it's going to be different this year. The fireworks are canceled, and many of the big gatherings are history for this year. But in Philadelphia, if you'd like to see some of the things that are going on, you can go to welcomeamerica.com, welcomeamerica.com, throughout the day on the 4th of July, and you'll be able to see many of the things that they'll be highlighting. And while you're out, when you're talking to family members and friends, invite them to tune into American Workers Radio, and they can listen to American Workers Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You'll see Larkin's picture, you'll see Mark's picture, you will see Rich's picture, and you'll see my picture up there haunting the front page of American Workers Radio. And, of course, there is also a link, register to vote. And when we get together, I think we have to talk about that, because it's getting closer and closer for us to make some big decisions. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for all your goodness. Happy 4th of July. May God bless all of you, and may God bless America.